Here we are with Evan. Evan Cheng is a co-founder and CEO of Mysten Labs, which develops the SUI blockchain. Evan, thank you so much for joining me here at the Defined Podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
Great. Excited to have you here. SUI has really kind of broken through the noise this year. Of course, there's many different layer one chains, but you know, the SUI TVL and token has you know, really taken off, surpassing many other layer ones recently. So I'm excited to hear what makes SUI different, the founding story, what kind of development and use cases you're seeing on the chain, all of that stuff. So let's start at the beginning. I'd love to hear first your own background, and then what led you to start SUI.
So I've been in tech for I think about 26 years now. I spent 10 years at Apple, built some of the very core technology that power software and many hardware devices, across the world. Pretty much my software is a foundation on every smart device out there, on iPhones and Android phones. Everybody uses my software. You probably heard Solana also use LLVM, which is, you know, my main work back at Apple days. So I've always been very interested in kind of developer platforms, or tooling for them, programming language, all those areas. My interest has always been some more foundational technology that have a lot of kind of a, you know, deliver a lot of impacts to developers. So that's probably, you know, that's relevant because that's my view about blockchain as well. These are ultimately developer platform that empower developer to build new type of applications and products. It's very, very different than what we are used to today. These days, you know, if you're using any of the, you know, platforms, TikTok, Instagram, you name it, it's sort of a custodial model, right? Each one of these is a silo. You basically are sort of giving them permission to sort of use your information, use your assets. In the future, we believe it's going to be a more less decentralized world where, you know, applications can sort of coordinate among themselves, and the coordination is done through the consumer themselves having complete control, of the assets and the information. They can sort of give permission, right? So if you understand that model, sort of you understand, you know, kind of what we're building towards, and that's a lot where I came from. Probably, you know, I work at Apple, then followed by my time at Facebook. It's always about, you know, sort of at the forefront of developer experience, tooling, language, everything. And I work at this company that's very, very much the leader of the current, you know, centralized Web 2 world, right? They know how to serve their developer. They know how to serve the customer. But it's a model that, you know, in my view, I have always feel like society will demand a different model. The social trend will want something with consumer more in control. Not saying one is right or wrong, but that's just how things tend to shift from one end to another. We go from highly decentralized or peer-to-peer internet back when it started to more centralized model, custody of information, make things more convenient. Having networking effect. Network effect means it's more efficient in distribution of content or information. That has a lot of positive about it, but it's also a lot of downside. So we're going to see this shift. So, for me, I always want to do something about it. I want to help build that developer infrastructure, that platform that empower this new type of application. And I believe that's the great opportunity in the coming decades. So that's sort of a lot of my background. So obviously at Facebook was kind of running R&D for the Libra project. And that was exciting period of time, learned a lot, we built a lot. We also somewhat left unsatisfied because it wasn't, you know, in hindsight, we feel like it was more of a product for Facebook and less of a platform. And part of it is just, you know, the scale of Facebook and you know, sort of incorporating feedback of sort of the government's regulators. Part is we just didn't quite understand. You know, so giving an example, we were talking about financial inclusion, and even for financial inclusion, we're thinking about the government having opportunity to potentially reaching millions of their citizens, you know, through some kind of, you know, sending them money, you know, G2C, you know, C. And we learned how difficult it is to, you know, using blockchain to, you know, it's insufficient. You know, it's one thing to be able to, you know, if there's already that direct connection, it's much easier. But given you know, that bootstrapping, the onboarding experience is very difficult. The difficulty of having all those assets living on chain at one time, you have to deal with all the complexity storing things on chain. We learned a lot, right? Those things turned out having a traditional blockchain was insufficient to solve this kind of problem. So when the opportunity came up, came along for my co-founder and I to start Mission Lab, we just took the chance and we said, okay, let's take our learning and let's build something very, very different. And with this sort of, you know, asset centric view in mind.
Super, super interesting stuff. I want to touch on a couple of points that you made. The first is just how, you know, remarkable it is that you were at developing for probably, you know, the epitome of centralized Web 2, right? Like yes. Apple is known to be very centralized, very much a closed garden, probably the most closed ecosystem there is. So pretty much opposite to blockchains. And then Facebook, obviously, you know, it's together with Google and Amazon, you know, the reason why Web 2 is so centralized. So yeah, I think it's just a very, I don't know, funny, I guess, that you came from these companies, right? And then, you know, learned about blockchain inside of Facebook, now Meta, and just, you know, wanted to, after, you know, Libra didn't pan out, you were inspired enough by this vision that you went off and wanted to start your own blockchain. I think that's just a really interesting path. I'm curious to hear your thoughts, because you were so much at the core of Web 2. You know, what about this system you think should be changed? I mean, why do you think this system no longer works for society currently, and that a new kind of blockchain-based Web3 would be better?
Yeah, I mean, like anything, right? So technology paradigm shifts over time. And why it must change? Well, it's getting to the point it's very hard for new players to challenge the established players. It's getting harder and harder, right? We've seen this, the fantastic, what if five these days, they get bigger and bigger, right? These companies are have accumulated more power. It's harder to crack, it's compete, right? When there's less competition, it's generally bad for consumer because you're stuck. And I think some of the potential downsides hard to quantify, right? When policy changes, such as Apple with a privacy policy change, doesn't allow cross-app, you know, tracking. Probably intention is good, but there's probably, you know, and probably do some good for consumer, but for advertising, it becomes, you know, for advertisers, it becomes a big challenge, right? All of a sudden, you don't understand how to target your ads, and the cost of acquiring customer increases, and that will have downsides, impact on small, medium businesses, right? These things are very hard to quantify. It's not right and wrong. It's just sort of general trend, right? Once you get to max centralization, it's inevitable there is going to be a push to the other direction. And couple that with a general distrust in institution. And I think this is something we can all agree, right? The world is getting to the point where that trust is not there anymore. So those combination, creates an opportunity, right? You kind of can't trust big institutions, big companies. At the same time, you are sort of almost powerless. You have to use them because they are everywhere. You rely on them so much in general, people will seek alternative. And what we're seeing with the younger generation, with some more of the progressive, kind of builders, they want to have more, be their own boss, right? The rise of the creator economy. People want to have more control of their destiny. They don't want to work for a big company. And that's definitely a trend. A lot of other, what we're seeing in fashion, in art, collaboration across different company, different brands, mixing of IPs is something people are definitely interested in, right? Because it's unique, right? If you can build something that's uniquely represents even the customers or the artists, right? That's powerful. So those social trends and just the need for competitive advantage is a reason why we're talking about decentralized applications. And I think we believe this trend will continue, will gather momentum. Yeah.
Awesome. And then the other question I wanted to ask from your background is what you mentioned. You took the lessons from Libra to build Sui. So what are the main lessons that you took away from that experience?
Yeah, so first of all, the developer experience with blockchains were suboptimal. When you're thinking of, I think if you think from first principle, you understand a public blockchain like Sui is for coordination, right? And coordination is through assets. If you want to allow developer and consumer to say, this is my asset that lives on chain and I can coordinate, between multiple services, say, okay, you get to use my information here, you use my information, but I own my identity, I own my asset. Then you realize the developer model, the sort of programming model of the blockchains doesn't really map it well. And that's the fundamental driver of understanding what we want to do. And knowing that we realize, we want to have assets as the first class citizen on the blockchain. And we kind of have a concept understanding how to take the Move programming language, which we designed and built at Facebook. How do we change that model to fit what we want? But then we run into other difficulty with the blockchain. So how you store data is one problem. You probably know before Sui, all the blockchains limitation in what they can, the on-chain data, the amount of information data they can store on-chain. It's very, very expensive. There's some redundancy, there's some bad kind of design there that sort of carry on from earlier days that makes that very limited. And that's very, very fundamental because if you think about it, we're going into the world where humans are constantly interacting with software. Right, you have an asset. You are basically empowering software to manage it for you, in some way. And pretty soon, we're probably going to see software just have an interaction as well. So these things are intelligent. These assets are intelligent. They're almost like autonomous in some way, making decisions or incorporate changes over time. And you need to empower it. If you are saying I'm holding all the information that's necessary that describe what the asset is off chain. You're fundamentally limiting what it can do, right? And you're basically reintroducing human in the loop. You're reintroducing centralization in the loop, right? You're going away from the decentralized application model. So Once we understand all these, it's just, okay, now we understand we need to build something and have somewhat very different requirement from all the blockchain that lived before. Okay, let's go actually design it from the ground up and see what we can come up with. And the result was three.
Interesting. And that's a great segue to the next question I have, which is with so many layer one blockchains, you know, what makes Sui special? Like, what makes it different, especially with comparing to Aptos, which, you know, I mentioned we recently had their co-founder on the podcast, and, you know, there's very similarities between you two. You're both using Move. You both came from the, you know, Facebook Libra experience. So, yeah, what makes you guys special compared to Aptos and like to all the other layer ones?
Yeah, I mean, as I alluded to earlier, we want to have a very different model. It's an asset-centric blockchain because we believe what we want is a, you know, sort of frictionless global coordination that through intelligent asset, right? What I mean by intelligent assets is assets can make decisions about self, can enforce rules around them. So the model is very different. The programming model, the data model, everything is very different. And that doesn't really work well in a sort of the classic kind of, you know, layer one model in terms of how they program. So everything is very, very different from that point on. We also, you know, and we talk about the ability to store information on chain, and every asset is an object with full encapsulation, and you can compose assets, right? So that's another aspect is very different from Sui. While everybody is talking about composability, alluding to the ability for protocols to interact with other protocols, you know, composing them as a chain. We have to also think about asset composability, right? If you think about in the real world, everything is composable. I have this glass that has water, right? These are two actually assets composed into one. An empty glass with water, these are two assets composed into one. And if you model everything in the world, that's how the world works as well. To enable that, all that, we have just fundamentally a very different data model and the transaction processing pipeline. Even the Move programming language is quite different because of that. Also in terms of transaction, while everybody's sort of talking about, well, we need to, you know, focus a lot on scalability, we're saying scalability should be, you know, table stakes. If you want to use infrastructure at a global scale, you need to basically ensure you never run out of capacity, right? Don't talk about scalability, talk about elasticity, meaning if you have increased demand, you have increased supply to meet that, and then you have predictability in terms of cost, right? So it's a lot of different design principle. Yes, people confuse us with Aptos all the time. The difference is very, very clear. Aptos is based on DN Core, which is open source by Facebook, the Libra project. We built everything from the ground up. We designed the Move language. We designed different variant of Move language using this more sort of asset-centric. In the programming language terms, it's more object-oriented, like you know, with some functional aspects as well. So every aspect is basically redesigned from the ground up. And we also focus a lot on the layers above a blockchain. All the primitives allow solving problems around kind of a onboarding experience, you know, the ease of creating assets that can enforce rules. These things are very important. You're probably aware the story about NFTs, right? The marketplace decided to drop enforcement of royalty. That's an example where you essentially humans corrupt the intention of software. The software was designed with intention of delivering royalty payments, but human, which is the marketplace, decided to drop that for their own benefit. We're about creating a platform that allows the asset to be intelligent, where these rules, once it's baked in, they cannot be circumvented by human. Right. So all these things are very, very different.
Ready to dive into the world of on-chain derivatives? Sen Futures is your decentralized portal to trading futures and perps with up to 100x leverage. Now live on Blast Mainnet, Sen Futures V3 combines limit orders and concentrated liquidity into a single unified liquidity model dubbed Oyster AMM, offering unparalleled capital efficiency. Earn triple airdrop rewards through an incentive program designed around Blast and Sen Future points. And join the new Trading Grand Prix competition to win a piece of the $500,000 prize pool. Visit synfutures.com, that's synfutures.com, to start your decentralized trading journey today.
When you talk about an asset-centric blockchain and storing assets on chain, I understand all blockchains do this, right? Like, that's what chains are about, you know, like having at least like a native token and having that be a part of the economic system of how the chain works. So can you explain a little bit more about, you know, like in practice, what does being an asset-centric blockchain mean? Like what can you do that you can't do on other chains?
Blockchain actually stores the transaction records on chain.
Okay.
A lot of information, the data about the underlying asset actually don't necessarily live on chain. NFT, ERC 721 is an example of this. In most cases, you store the JPEG off chain on some other storage mechanism.
Cases.
Right. Mm-hmm. For cost saving reasons. But think about beyond that, right? All these standards basically keep very, very little information on chain. And the information also sometimes are hard to mutate them because it's, again, very costly. So this is like one fundamental understanding here is what makes an asset is not just the JPEG, right? It's about all the information that's relevant to it. How much you want to, and what about the rules around them? So for Sui, you can basically store arbitrary amount of information on chain. If you want to describe, say, a JPEG, RPG game, right? You're probably familiar with it. A hero has all this information about them, their race, and their maybe their intelligence, their strengths, and the experience point. These are assets. These are information that makes that asset together. And we want to empower these things to be stored on chain. They can be mutated on chain. They can be composed. A hero acquiring a magic sword, all of a sudden you're composing two assets together. So these things are really not easily doable with other blockchains. Because the programming model, because the data model, and also because the cost that's associated with storing information on chain.
I see. Okay. So the big difference is that Sui makes it, I guess, cheaper, easier to store arbitrary amounts of information about an asset on chain. So that, you know, gives more predictability to how these assets works and makes them more composable.
Make them composable is a big part of it. Also enforcing rules is other parts of it. We have created a kiosk standard that you can imagine sort of like a kiosk you see in a shopping mall, right? You put things there and if you buy it off of it, then you automatically the royalty payments are guaranteed, handled by the software. By smart contract, you don't have to rely on marketplace to decide whether you enforce the rules or not. Same thing with a closed circuit standard, coin standard, that allows restrictions, right? The way you think about it is a permission asset on top of a permissionless platform. So there's a lot of, differences. In theory, you can build everything on any kind of programming language platform, but if your platform isn't sort of designed to support that model, it's going to make things very, very difficult. And that's one of the main kind of a design criteria when we design the suite.
Interesting. Okay. And then hopefully without getting too technical, but is the main reason why this is possible or easier on Sui, is it because you're using this modified version of the Move language, or is there also, you know, aspects of your consensus mechanism or like other things involved in making this feasible?
The first most important thing is the data model. So basically how you store this information on the blockchain. So, you know, the most of the blockchains sort of don't have a good separation between the transaction records as well as the data they store. Okay. So everything is kept on, you know, everything is sort of have a massive amount of overhead when you store on the blockchain. For us, the data model is, you know, this is not a blockchain where you think about in terms of smart contracts and sort of this kind of a file-based data model, address-based model. Each of the objects is distinct. Basically, it's a global sort of a database of all these objects, each one representing an asset that allow us to use conventional means to scale storage on-chain. So yeah, I'm trying not to go into all the details here, but every aspect of the processing pipeline, going through consensus execution, and also storing the resulting state changes on-chain, how we handle the data, the storage that's associated with the assets, are all completely different. A system, a complex system like this, every aspect has to sort of support each other. You kind of want to leverage the characteristic of each of the different components so they work well, you know, harmoniously. Yeah.
Makes sense. And so because of all of these objects are distinct, would Sui be classified as a modular chain? You know, there's like this big trend yes. about modular chains. I don't know if like Sui would be a part of that.
Every piece of large-scale software should be modular by design. And I think modular chains are more of a design to be used, you know, each one as a component, you know, but for us, right, our belief is, you know, it's for different target audience, right? So modular okay. chains are used for other infrastructure builder to sort of taking data availability part, taking different consensus module, all these things to create their own chain. You know, we are targeting developers that want to build applications, right? So the way we think about it is very, very, very different. You know, we'll see, right? We believe we can achieve scalability, right? And a lot of modular, sort of the thesis behind the modular blockchain is that's the way you scale blockchain. We fundamentally don't believe that. We believe we have architecture that actually can scale without any issue whatsoever. You don't want to kind of present so much complexity to developer that should just be focusing on building applications.
I see. No, it's definitely a valid viewpoint. And speaking of building applications, recently the Sui TVL total value locked crossed 500 million. So yeah, interested in what are the applications and use cases that's driving this growth?
And the DeFi ecosystem is definitely taking off. If you pay attention to the numbers, right, it's you know, recent weeks is between 550 and 600, and we'll probably get back there above 600 very soon. You know, the reason why the number you actually should look at, apart from TVL, is the transaction volume. So our transaction volume was actually leading the TVL growth, and it was in the top 10 overall chains a while ago. And that means it's a healthy DeFi ecosystem because you can actually fake TVL rather easily by putting a lot of, you know, sort of assets into protocols, but you know, placing outside the range to be used. What we want to see is healthy growth in TVL and healthy growth in transaction volume. And both those are happening. And the reason is, well, guess what? You know, we have builders that are building better products, and traders are using these DeFi protocols to make more money. You know, it's with some of our features that Sui has, programmatic transaction block, you can basically chain about a lot of activities together into one, you know, atomic block, and you execute and iterate on them without writing smart contract, right? You can do it on the client side. So people are figuring out how to sort of do this composability at a DeFi protocol level, and that allows them to do like some pretty, pretty powerful thing. We have one day, we still don't know who did it. There was some one bot that did 400 million transaction volume in one day. Probably somebody just tested out writing some of these, sort of bots to do that. So these are the reason, you know, so when you see something that's growing healthy, like the Sui DeFi ecosystem, it's because usually the reason behind it is simple. People are building, developers are building better product, and the users are making more money or getting better experience. We have another project called Bluefin that's not part of the TVL because it's a derivative platform, and they also like up there in terms of overall daily transaction volume. I think it's in the top five among some of the most, you know, well, most used protocols out there.
Got it. Okay, so it's mostly finance, like DeFi related apps that's driving this. Like
TVL is mostly driven by those. Yeah. Other you know, DeFi is definitely the first one on Sui to sort of cross that chasm to be sort of a rich product market fit and scoring healthily and other, you know, kind of vertical, other kind of applications are catching up as well. Yeah.
Interested to hear more about these experiments, I guess. You said DeFi developers are building on Sui. Like you mentioned something about using kind of this composability aspect to make some, you know, interesting applications. Like, can you give me a couple of examples?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously composability, especially in DeFi, has been talked about for a long time. Mm-hmm. And if you ever use these protocols, you also know a lot of times limited, right? To be composable, they kind of have to agree on some kind of common standard, have some agreement between them for them to follow the same standard to be used as, you know, together. Sui allow permissionless composability at both asset level, but also at the protocol level, because the program transaction block allow you to chain these things together. And so long as you can, you know, enough of the protocols functionality are exposed, you can just sort of do it without their permission, right? That's the whole point of permissionless. So that is very, very powerful, and developers are experimenting how we, you know, do these things or do some kind of a, you know, flash loan type of, you know, kind of bots. Is a very common thing. But what we're seeing is, you know, they really don't need to coordinate too much ahead of time, you know, to enable this happening. And also the possibility of doing this, composing this transaction into a block on the client side, without you need to write a smart contract, without need to generate move code, is a very, very powerful feature that, you know, other platforms don't support quite as well as Sui.
Do you think that the fact that you're using move, will that be a limitation for existing DeFi apps in other blockchains, say on Ethereum or Solana or like other popular ecosystems, for them to also deploy on Sui, because we'll have to kind of build things over again?
No, we're not really seeing that. Yes, it is easier to say taking existing Solidity code and fork it on another EVM chain, but you know, that over time just fragments your liquidity, because you have a lot of duplication of essentially the same protocol on all these chains that they're not really easily interoperable. In theory, you could, but in reality, each of the L2 are sort of separate, for example. And what we're hearing from the developer is a love move. We believe, for example, Srilim, they came from Solana, right? Solana, it's one of the biggest lending protocol there. They came over Sri, they have come out and say, you know, because it's, you know, on Solana using Rust is kind of like chewing glass. On Sri is like chewing puree. It's a very different experience. It's 10x better. They say that developer experience. So yes, there is a learning curve initially, but once you overcome that learning curve, the productivities of developers are actually much higher. And we think this is healthy because this allows them to build better products rather than forking existing product and maybe tweaking it.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, maybe, yeah, it takes a bit longer to do, but potentially the products that do get built are more original because they're done with a bit more intention than just creating a fork. Speaking of DeFi more broadly, you know, you talked about how people are using these DeFi apps to make money. And, you know, it's something that I've been watching and waiting for it to happen, that DeFi connects more with just like the productive world. Like, I don't know, people will say kind of the real world, but I think blockchains are very much real, but call it just like the productive everyday economy of, you know, just like earning a salary, taking a loan, getting mm-hmm. a loan to, you know, invest in your business or to buy a mm-hmm. house and not to like take leverage to buy more crypto.
Right.
So what do you think is missing for DeFi to actually make that jump?
Yeah. So, you know, we think, you know, sort of finance world in sort of three category broadly. There's on-chain finance that's we call DeFi, where everything's on-chain, right? But there is a lot of friction for consumer because you have to essentially tokenize your asset, your fiat money into stablecoin or other tokens, and then you can interact with these DeFi protocol. And there's other frictions on, you know, how do you get onboarded, right? Do you need to acquire tokens to deal with gas? You know, you have to deal with wallets and all that. It's fairly non-intuitive to a lot of normies, so to speak. Then what we want to do is consumer finance, right? How do you use these technologies to empower consumer finance? And then finally, in the future, you know, maybe the more institution finance will utilize blockchain as well, rather than doing it in sort of private chains or permission chain as some they're doing right now. All are moving, all are still, you know, having a lot of limitations. So the things we've done is we're solving a lot of onboarding kind of issues with ZK logging, allow you to sign, you know, not just sign in and sign on, but allow you to utilize application with your social login and basically manage your, you know, kind of your credential in a way that's more familiar to normal people, but still maintain the privacy, still maintain the self-custodial sort of, you know, model. And that's crucial. And have a sponsored transaction means you can jump into using these protocols without dealing with gas, right? If you ever downloading a mobile app, you understand this, right? You don't have to say, okay, do I have some changes here to pay for gas, right? Or some kind of cost in using this app. So we have built the primitives and the product builders are taking advantage of those, and it's somewhat different kind of experience. Consumer finance is sort of next, sort of frontier for using blockchain. And if you think about cross-border payments, we know there are people benefiting from having stablecoin, using it as a replacement for kind of the traditional border payment solutions, but you still have the friction of on-ramp and off-ramp, right? These things, again, needs to be solved. And also in emerging market, you, if you want to say, you can imagine some kind of point of sales, kind of transaction, consumer paying for something. Mm-hmm. What if you have bad connectivity, right? And you mentioned one thing we talked about is forecast, we sort of like talk about like internetless transactions. This is why these sort of technology are very, very crucial. Basically, it's solving all these friction at the edges. What is going to require to empower the next generation of consumer finance products. And we believe we have a lot of solution there, and do so in a way that's still regulatory compliant. That's going to be important. Safe and secure. These are sort of table stakes. We cannot afford to have more large-scale hacks and other kinds of issues that sort of scare people away from utilizing blockchains.
Mm-hmm. So for you, do you think it's mostly a UX, UI problem?
Well, people think about it's a UX, UI problem, but it's much more than skin deep, right? If you think in UX, it's sort of external facing. To solve these kind of problem without reintroducing centralization is a big part. Again, I use the NFT secondary sales as an example. Well, that was an example of reintroducing centralization because the marketplace was centralization. Agent here, and they can decide, I'm not going to enforce royalty payment because that increases the transaction volume. It's good for me. Anytime you take that very, very easy solution, say by reintroducing centralization, that you lose, something bad happens. And we saw what happens in the last cycle. A lot of these sort of application that aggregating sort of our front end to DeFi allow people to put that money in like Voyager as one example, right? And take that money and then deploy in DeFi protocol and supposed to, pass the yield back to the consumer. Turns out they didn't really take the money and do what they supposed to do. They put it in lots and lots of risky kind of products and the whole thing fell apart. So solving these kind of problems actually take very, very deep technology solutions. And it's not as simple as say just UX. Apple is famous for this, right? Their product are seamless, gray, feels like butter, is because everything is built, to support that function, support that possibility.
Right. It's like, okay, the user sees a better experience, but that's because there's a lot of technical work, deep work behind it that allows that to happen.
Right. Yeah. Think about it, right? When they, pretty soon we're going to demonstrate internetless transaction, maybe go out in the middle of nowhere. You can imagine, maybe you can play a Pokemon type of game in a place where there's no internet. You can capture that Pokemon and that's on the blockchain. Or you can do a point sales payment without great connection.
That's really
cool. That will seem like a UX problem, but solution, but it's deep technology underneath it.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think that with, Bitcoin crossing its previous all-time high very recently, it really does seem like we're starting a new bull market. Do you think it's these types of applications what will be driving the next bull? Like, do you think it'll be DeFi focused? Last bull run, it was all about NFTs. Like, what do you think is going to bring in the next wave of users?
Yeah, I think in a bull market, everything goes. We're seeing that in the past. I think the way we are thinking about it is, how do you get beyond this bull and bust cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, you see this happening all the time. Bull market get more users to come in. That's great. People are making money, speculation, and they stick around for a while until a bear market and you see the users drop. Not even the token price drop, you see the user drop. How do we overcome that? If as an industry, you can deliver like actual value impact to the world, that won't be the case. If you have a technology, a product you depend on, it's not going to matter to the consumer whether it's a bull market or bear market. They're just going to keep using the product. So we care, you know, we obviously watching the market cycle. Things changes dramatically. In the bull market, more people trying it, that's all great. But it's also about how do you capture these users so they become lifelong users and not just they only here for the ride. And that's very important for us. So, you know, we focus a lot on the long term, also be aware what the, you know, kind of near term market condition and what we need to do to capture the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And then related to that, right now there's a lot of focus on incentive programs with tokens. Wondering whether you guys have anything like that with Sui. Like, is there, you haven't done an airdrop that I know of. I don't know if that's something that you're planning or just like a more general incentive program for people who want to earn your token.
Yeah, the incentive program is basically a customer acquiring customer. Every product, you know, doesn't matter if it's Web 2 or Web 3, every product that want to, you know, get going, solving the co-stop problem, it's common to have some kind of incentive program to acquire customer. We're working with a lot of different products and services to do that, to help them do that. So you may not see a sort of a traditional airdrop of Sui, you know, because we're way past mainnet launch anyway. And it's also a question of how sticky that is. You know, but we definitely have a lot of things going on right now. If people are paying attention to the Sui ecosystem, they will see there's a lot of opportunity to, you know, to be rewarded for trying out things and that we want to point people to. Right. So one hand, we want to remove all the friction for people to jump in and start playing around with Sui. And then we want to incentivize them to stick around or try new things. And that becomes part of their life, something they enjoy using and they stick around. And we want to make them lifelong users. So, yeah, combination of these efforts are definitely going on.
Okay. So what's the best way to learn about that and like to start getting involved?
Well, I mean, go to Sui.io, go to follow Sui on network on Twitter. Just, you know, there are plenty of content, plenty of information out there about Sui. You know, follow people who are being Sui OGs for a while. They are talking about their products, right? If you're interested in DeFi, you can talk about use Scallop, you can use Turbos, you can use Navi, you can use Bucket, all these different protocols. If you're interested in gaming, we have like 80 some gaming in the pipeline. All them are launching, a lot of them are launching pretty soon. Some are very, very well-known IPs as well. Love to see people kind of try them. We also already have Run Legend. We have Arcade Champions, a lot of Cosmo. There's an Animal Crossing game. I forgot the exact name, Cosmo something. Topian or something, right? These are games either in beta, a Panzer, you know, they're games, right? So sorry, I can't remember the exact name. But you know, if you go to follow us on the social media and on our website, you can discover these application. We believe that's the best way to get understanding of Sui. Or you want to buy fuddies, right? There's the NFTs. That's another way to interact with the community as well. Lots and lots of opportunities.
Would you want there to be a focus of, you know, a specific use case on Sui? Do you see any specific use case having a competitive advantage on Sui rather than on other, another?
No, I think we have technical and product competitive advantages over across all the different product categories. DeFi happened to be the first one to get to that point of product market fit because it's just a faster iteration kind of a space. But we're pretty sure like gaming is gonna take off big time in Sui ecosystem like any point now as the games start to launch. NFTs and social media type application deepening, that's something that's very concrete that a lot of people benefit from. You know, we have several projects launching, all that are coming to Sui because we want to build something better than what they can build on other platforms. So it's not one particular area. And to be, and we believe there's going to be new product categories that people have, maybe a combination of all these different elements, or maybe just something we have never anticipated that will come up. And ultimately that's what we mean. This is a developer platform, and the developers are the ones that we care a lot about, right? Because we want to empower them to build great products for consumers. That's the way to go. So we are very confident that that's going to happen on Sui.
Interested in your just broader view on what the future blockchain ecosystem will look like and what Sui's role is there. Like, do you see a future where there's dozens of chains and they're all, interoperable with bridges, or do you see a future where it's like a handful of chains will end up capturing most of the use cases, or will there be a single chain? What's your view there?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. Nobody really know for sure. And what we're believing in is growing the oversize of the pie and not worry too much about this small slice that currently exists, right? Because it's so early. Obviously, there's a lot of, China chains are built to be interoperable and bridge, have bridges between them. EVM chains are one example of those. Some of them are going to be more compatible with others. Some are not really that compatible, whether that becomes one big ecosystem or becomes a fragment. Lots of different fragment ecosystems is somehow interoperable or not. It's not clear but fragmentation is going to make things, the user experience, much worse. And liquidity also going to be fragmented. It's not good as well. So we believe, power laws always play a role, and there will be a few dominant ecosystems. Exactly what that number is and what they look like, too early to tell, to be honest. Nobody really know. What we do believe is, given in a way like we have second mover advantage, we build Sui, after learning about all the limitations of everything else, we're quite confident in our technology, in our product, in the differentiation, and we are already seeing the different kind of product, better products. We believe Sui will be one of the biggest one, if not the dominant one. How long that would take when that becomes, reality, hard to say. We've got to do our job. We are working with so many of our developers to empower them. I think we'll be around for a long time. It's not possible for hundreds or thousands of ecosystems all prosper. Will be a relatively small number. Exactly what that number is, nobody really know at this point.
Makes sense. And then finally, to wrap up, what are the next milestones for Sui? Like, what should we be looking forward to?
Well, in April 10th and 11th in Paris, we have Sui Base Camp. So where if you want to get the alpha, the latest of our Sui evolution of the chain, we're going to talk about a lot of very, very exciting product launch, feature launches. That's where you're going to see all the things that, we're only hinting about right now. So that's the next major milestone. Over the next few days and weeks, there will be lots and lots of very exciting product announcements and partnership announcements following along. Some of them will actually prove to the world that yes, blockchain can do that. The things that people have been sort of dreaming about, hinting about, will show actual, you know, proof of concept or actual products that show that's possible, oftentimes with partners. So it's not one major milestone, it's a continuous set of milestones.
Can you give us a hint of one of those products that are like, wow, blockchain can do that?
I mean, I think people have been thinking about traditional trading in like stock exchanges and whatnot, and you know, can blockchain do something about it? Stay tuned. Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll definitely cover that on the Defiant. And Evan, this was great. I really appreciate you taking the time. Super interesting chat. And really glad we got to dive deep in Sui. Super, you know, great stuff. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Camilla.